Judges chapter 7, beginning in just a moment in verse 9. I was putting together a letter today that I'm going to send out to our missionaries just to encourage them and let them know what's happening in our church. And was looking at some statistics that I keep. And in the last little over 2 years, we've had a dozen people come forward for salvation in Sunday morning services. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's good. We'd like to see more, but praise the Lord for a dozen. We've had many more than that saved in our school, our vacation Bible schools, our door-to-door efforts. We've baptized a dozen people in the last 2 years, and we've got right now at least two or three more that are pending baptism. And we've seen our church maintain about the same membership over the course of the last couple of years, and we pray that God would bless and allow us to grow according to His will. But there's one thing that we know, and that is we're on the winning side.
Amen?
Amen? You know, it's one thing to go into battle and not know who's going to win. I was looking at some history that pertains to World War II, and there were some times, for example, at the beginning of World War II in Guadalcanal, when we went in and we didn't know if we were going to win or not. You may not know that, you may know, I don't know, that on D-Day, Eisenhower had already written a speech that was prepared just in case we were repelled from the beaches and did not successfully land in France on D-Day back in 1944. Going into battle and not knowing if we would win or not, but knowing we were on the right side. But folks, when you and I go into battle, we're on the winning side.
Amen.
And Gideon has that same experience. There's a lot of things about Gideon's battle that apply to our battle. And I want you to know, we're in a battle. It's a battle against sin. It's a battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's a battle against false doctrine. Just in the past couple of weeks, I've had two different individuals contact me rather assertively. They have a false doctrine, an agenda that they're promoting, and they're trying to convince me that they're right. And they got a problem when they try and do that, and that is, I believe the Bible. And when you believe the Bible, then your doctrine is established by the Bible and not by your opinion. And so that kind of solves that problem for me. But they see some things that are, they're not honest with the Word of God. And I told both of them that. So we fight against things. We have casualties. There are people that drop out, pastors that drop out, church members that drop out, lost folks that lose their lives. I'm fearful for Jenny tonight. I hope she's safe. And the wages of sin is death. We're in a fight, but we're on the winning side. Look at Judges chapter 7 at verse 9. It came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, that's the enemy host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. Doesn't that feel good? You understand what's going to happen is one day you and I are going to watch as the Lord Jesus Christ judges the world, and there's not one single sin that's not going to be dealt with. Either the sins that were dealt with on the cross or the folks that rejected Christ, at the end, God will provide justice. There's not going to be anything left out, and God's will be done perfectly henceforth for all eternity. God, we're on the winning side. The victory is guaranteed. And sometimes, even as a pastor, it looks like it's getting awful close. You start to wonder what's going to happen. And then God does something like He did yesterday, and you think, oh, yeah, I forgot. God answers prayer.
Amen.
You know, we've been learning about Peter in the book of Acts, and he was in prison, and the church prayed, and God let him out. Oh, yeah, God answers prayer. And that kind of surprised them when he came out, but it shouldn't surprise us. We're on the winning side. So the outcome was already decided before the battle ever began. It's a privilege to fight on God's side. We have a mission. He was given this mission, arise, get down to the host, and we have a guaranteed result. I have delivered it into thine hand. Now, God anticipated Gideon's fear. Just for simple sake of outline, this chapter, or this portion of this chapter, divides up into three sections. The first section has to deal with confidence. We ought to be confident in the Lord. Amen? We ought to be confident. God wants us to have that confidence. Gideon is dealing with fear. It says in verse 10, if thou fear to go down, he says, then what I want you to do is to take your servant down there in verse 10, and you're going to hear what they say. And this, I like this in verse 11, afterward shall thine hands be strengthened. Now, we do not trust in circumstances, but it sure is nice to see them work out God's way. I like it when we pray and God answers that prayer. I like it when we see God's will come to pass in situations. But folks, we get our confidence from the Word of God. The truth of the matter is, once God says, I have delivered it into your hand, that's really all the confidence you need. But remember, Gideon was a man like us that had some fears, and so God would reassure him. And so he gave him this confidence, and that happens there in verses 10 through 15. And then there was cooperation. And what I mean by that is, now as he begins the battle, he does it God's way. We have to do it God's way. Last Friday, I got to reading about music, and I spent a couple of hours reading a book about music and the kind of music that is bad music that is creeping into, and maybe not even the right word, maybe not creeping, but rushing into churches today, music that doesn't honor God, music that appeals to the flesh in a wrong way, music that causes people to have the wrong kind of emotions, and it's not worshipful music, it's carnal music, and it's creeping into our churches horribly to the point to where it's hard to find a church with good music anymore. And when I'm good, I'm not talking about quality, I'm talking about caliber, the type of music that they have. And anyway, you got to do it God's way. You don't reach the world with the world's methods, you reach the world with God's methods. And we'll look at that here. I won't be too long, but some things that are God's way. So you have the confidence in verses 9 through 15, the cooperation in verses 16 through 22, and then the carry through in verses 23 to 25. And here's what happened. Once Gideon had gone out and done it God's way, then the whole nation got involved and they carried through and defeated the enemy. It's one thing to start, it's another thing to keep going, right? It's one thing to begin serving God and to be busy for a while. And we see that happen sometimes. I've seen people, they join the church and they come to a few church services, but they don't get involved. And then before you know it, they're not involved in church even. And before you know it, they're gone. We have to keep on going. The Lord's faithful to us. We should be faithful to Him. And so there's the carry through. So let me just ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm not going to be very long. I'm already running out of time, but I'm going to read verses 16 through 22, and then we'll just kind of jump around a little bit here and look at these three areas of winning the battle. The Bible says in Judges chapter 7 in verse 16, he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah in Zererath, and to the border of Abel Meholah, and unto Tabith. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I ask you tonight, please just help us see a few things that would be an encouragement to us. I pray that we would be strengthened and also that we would be able to just learn from your word and be faithful in the battle. We know the victory is ours, but there's still a fight to fight. Pray that you'd bless our time, be with those that are away from us tonight, and bring them back safely, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Some things about Gideon's battle that are just the same in our battle. The odds were impossible, weren't they? No way that 300 people can defeat 135,000 people, but God can. Amen? And God said he could. So you don't worry about the odds. We don't worry about the numbers, the statistics, and so forth. The odds were impossible. The enemy was impassible and irritable, and I'm just sticking with the I there, but the idea is there was an enemy. The enemy was not going to give in without a fight. And the fact of the matter is the enemy had been oppressing them for a long time. And folks, there's an enemy out there. And there are people that are suffering in sin. The devil is an enemy, and he is destroying people, and they need to be rescued. The command was to initiate action. In other words, Gideon was to be on the offensive. The unique battle plan we'll look at here in just a minute. But folks, I can say today we saw the exception to this. I was going to say this. We cannot wait for them to come to us, but today they did. And I heard the phone ring. Brother Mendez answered the phone, and before you know it, I'm listening to him, and he's saying, well, to be saved, and he starts telling this lady how Christ died for her sins, and I could hear her asking him questions, what about baptism, what about going to church, what about the Mass? I presume she probably had some Catholic background or whatever. And did we decide that Greg perhaps stirred her up with a door hanger?
Yes.
Okay, so we did go out, amen? We initiated the action. Last night, Brother Dahlman got his exercise by putting door hangers on doors. And he gets a lot of exercise. He works hard. But anyway, and somebody got stirred up and called the church. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We got to go. If we just sit back quietly and hold our peace, we're not going to see the kind of result. We need to go out and fight the fight. Don't hesitate to do that. The command was to initiate action. God says, get thee down in verse 9. And then the victory is irrefutable. Defeat is impossible. God promised the victory. We're on the winning side. So the battle is very similar to our battle. And I'll show you these 3 points very quickly. We won't be too long here. But confidence in God's plan. First of all, we saw it in verse 9, we have a promise. Secondly, God knows our fears in verse 10 and 11, and he wants to comfort us. And the reason he wants to comfort us, and it's very well explained here in this passage, is in verse 11, that his hands would be strengthened to go down unto the host. Folks, it's easier to go into battle when you know that you have the victory in hand. You say, well, Pastor, I witnessed to somebody and they didn't get saved. Well, don't give up. But what about those that did get saved? Amen? And then I got a promise for you, one of my favorite promises in the Bible, in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Amen?
Amen.
Last Sunday morning we baptized Lucia. And somewhere in the middle of that baptism, Brian began to talk to, I think it was Brother Gonzalez. And so I'd change clothes and I'd come out, and Brian Jensen came to me and he said, you know what? He says, I need to be baptized. And I said, well, you understand that when you get baptized, you're joining our church. Yeah, he said, I know that. What he didn't know was that 2 days later, his son would make a profession of faith.
Amen.
And put this all together now, Tom's coming back into town this weekend. So now, Grandpa is going to get to see his son and his grandson baptized.
Amen?
Amen? Folks, we're on the winning side. And when you see God bless, I won't read you the passage here, but what happened was Gideon was sent down to the host, and the enemy was talking about the fact that they knew they were beat. They knew they were defeated. You understand the devil knows he's defeated, and he's doing everything he can to hurt God. He does that by trying to hurt you and I. And then you also understand that people out there, by and large, if you can get them to be honest with you, a lot of them realize they need something they don't have. And we have the answer. Don't hesitate to give folks the gospel. You say, I'm afraid to talk to somebody. Well, you shouldn't be, but at least go to the door and put a gospel of John on the door so they can hear the truth and call our church and ask Brother Mendez how to be saved. Amen? And we definitely have a need for that confidence. In verse 14 and in verse 18 and in verse 20, there's an interesting little transition here. In verse 14, the enemy says, the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, and he describes how he knows they're going to be defeated by the sword of Gideon. But when it came time for the people to cry out in verse 18 and verse 20, they said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. This is the sword, amen? God gave us this sword. It is sharp. It is able to divide asunder. It is perfectly sharp if you have the right Bible. And God gave it to us. It ought to be our sword. It is Gideon's sword. Can you say it's your sword? Amen? Can I say it's my sword? When someone comes to me with false doctrine and they want to tell me that God's finished with Israel, do I have a sword? I have a sword. When someone comes to me with a crazy agenda that they think the church ought to be promoting. No, we have an agenda in the Word of God. We have a sword. I know exactly what the truth is. I don't have to ask that question. I've got it right here, and you do too. And that's where we're going to get the victory, is from the Word of God. And you'll see that happen even in the Revelation. So Gideon had a promise. He had been comforted. He had a sword. And then, just once again, there's that word that you saw in verse 9, I have delivered. But look in verse 14. It says, into his hand hath God delivered Midian. And then at the end of verse 15, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. It's really God's battle, and God's the one that gives the victory. Amen?
Amen.
We're just the soldiers. We don't have the responsibility to gain the victory. We simply go into the fight, comforted in God's promise, and God promises the victory. So there's that confidence or that comfort that God gives in verses 9 through 15. And then confidence followed by cooperation with God's plan. I think if you have confidence, you'll go. Amen?
Amen,
Amen, Brother Hickson? If you have confidence, you'll go. And, you know, we understand that the Word of God doesn't return void. It always accomplishes its purpose. But these men, given this confidence, cooperate with God's plan. It was God's army of 300, divided into three groups, perhaps a picture of the Trinity, but not to worry about that too much. But here's what I do see in verse 17. Watch this. Gideon is giving these people instructions, and he says, look on me and do likewise. Now I ask ourselves the question. Can others look on you and me and do likewise? Amen?
Amen.
Ought to be able to. When it comes time to serve God on an evangelistic effort, or when it comes time to serve God around the church, folks ought to look on us and do likewise. I still remember back when I was a child, the pastor of the church in Carlsbad, New Mexico, he said this, and I've heard it in other places. I've said it in other places, and here's the question. If everyone in my church were just like me, what kind of a church would my church be? I don't know where he got that, but it sure stuck in my mind. If everyone in my church were just like me, what kind of a church would my church be? Would it be a praying church? Would it be a soul-winning church? Would it be a faithful church? Would it be a mission-supporting church? Would it be a church with a bus ministry, with a Sunday school program? If everyone in my church were just like me, what kind of a church would my church be? Folks, we ought to be an example.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. And this is the Wednesday night crowd. And we certainly ought to be an example. This is the cream of the crop, as a lot of folks say. And we ought to be an example to others. Gideon was able to say, look on me and do likewise. We ought to be able to say that as well. That's part of God's plan. And then in verse 17, he says, behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, and so Gideon was leading from the front. Let's go. We ought to all follow that example as well. Certainly those in leadership, and be the ones that go out and do the things that ought to be done. Now, look what the plan was. 4 points. This won't take long. Number one, make a lot of noise. They had trumpets. At one point I highlighted the word trumpet. I think it's in there 7 times if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, trumpet, 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 trumpet. They're going to make some noise. What'd Paul say? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And I may have misquoted the end of that, but the point is this. We shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. Folks that don't have the gospel are the ones that ought to be ashamed. And as a church, we need to make some noise. Our community ought to know we're here. And we're making some noise. But the more of us that blow the trumpet, the more noise we can make. If I have one or two or three trumpets blowing, that's one thing. If I have 10 or 20 or 30, that's something else. Be a part of that. Amen? He has 300 men, and they've all got a trumpet. And they're all going to make some noise. And we ought to make some noise as a church. We ought to make ourselves known, make the Lord known, declare the gospel. And then have a sword. In verse 18, he tells them, he says, say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. We got to declare the word of God. That's our sword. And I've already kind of talked about that a little bit. But don't ever stop memorizing the Bible. Don't ever stop quoting the Bible. Use the Bible. When you have a question, find it in the Bible. I met with a church member recently, and the church member had some questions. And I answered some from the Bible, and there was one question I was a little bit hard-pressed to answer. And the individual went off and studied and sent me a text message 2 days later and said, I found the answer. You were right. Here's the verse. Folks, we use the Bible. Amen? Amen. The Bible is our weapon. The Bible is that which we accomplish things with. Okay, then in verse 20, they blew the trumpets. Now you got to see this. I think you understand what happened here, so I don't want to belabor the point. But all they had was a lamp in a pitcher and a trumpet. A lamp in a pitcher and a trumpet. They weren't carrying swords. If they were, they were strapped to their side. But they had a lamp in a pitcher and a trumpet. They went out in the night. They surrounded the enemy army. They blew the trumpet. They broke the pitcher. And when they broke the pitcher, what shows up? The lamp. Light. Amen? We have a light. The Bible says the light of the world is Jesus. And we shouldn't hide that under a bushel, should we? We ought to let folks know. We ought to hold that light up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Our message is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. We have a light. And of course, we have the light that comes from the Word of God as well. And then one more thing, and I'll summarize this for you. In verse 21, I like the second and the third word. The next two are fine as well. They stood, every man in his place. Two thoughts there. Number one, take a stand. Amen?
Amen.
And number one, stay put. Now, had to be a little bit nerve-wracking, except for the fact that God gave them this comfort and the confidence, and he gave them the promise. But they have surrounded the enemy. They have broken the pitcher. They're holding the lamp. They're blowing the trumpet. They're standing there. And who fought the battle? God did. Who swung the sword? They weren't swinging any swords. The enemy was killing themselves. They call that the fog of war, or the right word here would be this God delivering. But there's not any rush of Gideon's army into the host. They have surrounded the host. They have done what God said, and God gave the victory. Do you see the picture there? When you and I do what God says, God's the one that gives the victory. Say, why did somebody get saved? Because God gave the victory. Say, why did somebody get delivered? Because God gave the victory. Someone says, no, Pastor, I did that. No. You stood there. You held out the light. You made the noise. You obeyed God. God gave the victory. Amen?
Amen.
Now, looking back on that, seeing what God did, all of us would say, hey, I wouldn't mind doing that. But on the day before the battle, thousands of them were fearful and left. The time came to be one of those 300, and they had to risk themselves. What if the enemy rushes them and kills them? Well, God's in control, but God delivered them, and God won the victory. Folks, let's just be part of the battle, amen? And if you think about it, what they did really physically and practically wasn't all that hard. I guess my biggest problem I'm thinking is, how do I hold a pitcher and a lamp and a horn? I got to figure that out. But anyway, that's the hardest part. Once you break that pitcher, you hold the light, you blow the trumpet, you shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, you stand your ground, and God gives the victory. It was God's plan, and it worked. Amen? If we do it God's way, it'll work. Amen? For our church, in our lives, if we do it God's way, it'll work. So we saw the confidence, the promise, the comfort, the sword, the deliverance coming from God. We saw the cooperation, God's army, Gideon as an example. They made the noise. They declared the word. They held up the light and took a stand. And then real quick, and it's kind of weak here from this on point on, but it's true. They carry through, and here's some things I like about this. Look at verse 24. Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan." But look at verse 23. The men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, out of Asher, out of Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. And it was a gathering of others that followed once the battle began. We ought to get some other folks involved. It didn't remain just 300. There was a carry through, and some other folks got involved. Folks, we know what God wants us to do. Amen? He gave us the Word of God. He gave us the Great Commission. He wants us as a local church to reach our community. We need to keep on doing that and keep on doing that and keep on doing that until the Lord comes back, until He enlarges our coast and we can go further out with more people. We need to keep on serving. We need to keep on teaching and preaching the Word of God. We need to keep on sending out missionaries. We need to keep doing what we're doing and do it faithfully. And if we will do it, God will bless. And we ought to all be a part of it. Amen? It's God's army. The victory's ours. Let's just be part of it and keep on going. You say, "Pastor, it's not a very big army." No, it wasn't. But it was big enough. Amen? And by the way, it's God's battle. It's God's deliverance. The size of the army really isn't the issue at all.